నందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యమునా తీరావన చారి యమునా తీరావన చారి జై రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహార యశోదానందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యమునా తీరావన చారి యమునా తీరావన చారి జై రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారి రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతీ నైష్ఠికీ. సో ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ టు అవర్ last session. We began yesterday morning with a Bhagavatam class on setting the mood for this beautiful ecstatic festival of Sri Sri Radhashtami. And of course, today morning, we heard almost 2 hours of Nectarian and also very insightful understanding of Radha Tattva and Radharani's Leela. What I'm going to do today is Radharani is Vrindavaneshwari. She is the proprietress. She is the boss. She is the owner of Vrindavan. She is a controller. And we have in the 10th canto the description of Akrura being told by Kamsa to go to Vrindavan and fetch Krishna Balaram. So Akrura thinks it's a godsend. I mean, he was living in Kamsa's kingdom in constant fear. He's a pure devotee, but is not allowed to publicly express his devotion. And then this opportunity comes. So the way in which Akrura approaches Vrindavan, and when he sees Vrindavana's beauty, splendor, and he just rolls in the dust of Braj. And Shukdev Goswami makes a comment, this is the purpose of human life. A very bold statement, at the same time a very assuring statement. That this is the purpose of our body. We getting a human form of life, and Akrura is rolling in the dust of Vrindavan. So that time, there's a series of very sweet verses. And Shripad Radha Govind Maharaj, he gave a very nice katha on this subject matter called Akrura Milan in Krishna Balaram temple complex a few years ago. So that one particular verse which Akrura is glorifying Krishna, glorifies Krishna's lotus feet. And for the last 2 days we are hearing how Srimati Radharani, her very name suggests that she is the topmost worshipper. We in India, you must be hearing this, you have heard this word Aradhana. Aradhana means to worship. So Radha, this word itself suggests she is the best worshipper of Krishna. So I'll use this first verse as a launch pad, as I said. This is 10th canto, 38th chapter, text 7. Kamso batadya kritameti nugraham drakshengri padmam prahito munahare kritavatarasya duratyayam tama purve taranyan nakhamandalatvisha. Very interesting what Akrura is saying. Indeed, today King Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Simply by the effulgence of his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. A very small purport is given by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Akrura noted how ironic it was that the envious demoniac Kamsa had given him an extraordinary blessing by sending him to see the Supreme Lord Krishna. There are two or three classes which Prabhupada gave on Radhashtami, and I think Shridhar Prabhu mentioned in the morning that Prabhupada would give a very lengthy explanation as to what Radharani's tattva is, and not even once did he share any pastime. He said that will come later. And of course, now we have Gorgoin Maharaj, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. I just saw on ISKCON Desiree what kind of Radhashtami lectures are available. So, of course, I am also not so qualified to speak on these leelas. They are very nice to hear. But the foundational understanding of who is Srimati Radharani. So, Janmashtami is commonly used, if I can use that word, by ISKCON as a mass appeal kind of festival. Again, that point came in the morning today, how we have security and how we have so many elaborate arrangements. And if I dare may say, nowadays even our own Radha Gopinath congregation, they feel, don't come to the temple, there is no space. In fact, one close godbrother friend, I said, you are responsible. He said, how? I said, you preach so nicely, there are so many people are coming. And then we don't have enough space here. So what can be done? So anyway, it's a joyful burden. But the fact remains that we have not expanded our temple grounds or even the temple complex. Otherwise, we could have done so much. I remember the first Janmashtami I attended, and there was not much activity. We were hoping that one day the temple hall would be full, then this hall would be full. And now Radha Gopinath has attracted so many devotees. Who knows what their plan is. But the fact remains that for most of the temple devotees, for most of the congregation devotees, Janmashtami is more or less like, oh, I have this duty, I have to do shoe stall seva or some other seva or cooking seva. But Radhashtami, this is our family gathering. This is our, this is the time when those who feel that Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, this temple, these deities, they are the nucleus of my spiritual life. And that's why we see all of us gathered here in that mood. So, I confess, before even opening a Prabhupada's book, I never knew who or what Srimati Radharani is or whether there is any tattva. In fact, we wondered whether there is any tattva to Krishna even. We just thought, well, here is a Hanuman temple, here is a Devi temple, here is a Krishna temple. And our elders, they said, sab ek hai, everything is one. Whatever you do, sarvadeva namaskaram, keshavam pati gacchati. We have some Sanskrit shlokas to back up that. It is Prabhupada who gave the word, the science of Krishna. Now you may say, why should there be a science with God? Science means labs, equipment, experimentation. In one sense, what we are doing here is also a kind of a laboratory thing, in the sense that it's not easy to jump to the platform of immediately saying, hey Radhe, Jai Krishna, or something like that. I was recently in Ahobilam, and the general pattern in southern temples is that you approach the Garbhagriha, you give a small donation, the pujari lights a camphor lamp and he is chanting mantras, and in that whatever you see, and after that it's all pitch dark. why it should be like that. It serves one purpose. You don't find many sahajiyas in the southern part of India. That distance is maintained. This is the Lord and you are his worshipper. So you just have a brief glimpse, few seconds. At that time everybody is in the mood of, you know, and doing so many prayers and please, please, I'm your servant, I'm your servant, I'm your servant. That's very good. So that is the proper understanding. While we have Radha Krishna temples, it's all fully lit and we can go right before, and few temples like Pandharpur, you can actually touch the lotus feet of Krishna. In most temples, at least Prabhupada said, do not show the lotus feet of Radharani. Maybe once on Gopastami, some temple they do that. But otherwise, Prabhupada very clearly says, you should try to understand who Radha is, but internally maintain the attitude that I am not fit. And just like our deity worship also is, we are worshipping Radha Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. How is that? Because for Lakshmi Narayan there are rules and regulations. The cleanliness rules have to be maintained. The punctuality rules have to be maintained. In fact, sometimes we used to have a clock which would go sometimes slow. And if it is slow, that means it shows 4:57 or 4:58. And then the Mangalarti conch blows. So people would say, hey, why is it so early or why is it late? It has to be exact. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj tells a story how he was a pujari. And those days in New Vrindavan, they didn't have many electronic gadgetry or many other things, but they just had a digital clock. And the joy of a pujari was to be ready with your conch shell. If 4:30 is the Mangal Aarti, 4:29:55. And at exactly as it becomes 4:30, boom, and then, so that's the joy. So, this is called Vaidhi Bhakti. You follow a Vidhi. Now, you may not know what exactly it is. Sunday, Gauranga Prabhu shared a story. It was Prahladanand Swami. He himself told it once in a class. That 6 months he was a pujari for Jagannath Baldev Subhadramai. And then he wrote a report to Prabhupada that I am doing this seva and it's very nice. And the last line was, and by the way, Srila Prabhupada, who is it that I am worshipping? Because the temple president told him that, you know, this is how you should worship, 4:37 and like that. And then you should offer water, you should offer food. He didn't tell him who these personalities are. So just one something which looks very big eyes, somebody in between without any limbs. And another person white without, with some jutting out limbs like that. But the fact is that these devotees, they got the benefit of this Vaidhi Bhakti. So, if you worship Vishnu, you are a Vaishnav. If you worship Krishna, then who are you? Yeah, correct. Somebody said correct. Karshna. And if you worship Radha, then Gaudiya. So, Gaudiya Vaishnavism or becoming a Gaudiya, that is the goal of those who follow Rupa Raghunath. And especially, Srila Prabhupada, in one of his Radhashtami classes, I really like this point so much, that Krishna, after reading the Bhagavad Gita, you see that he is Param Brahma, he is the Supreme Brahman. So the first point in understanding Radha Tattva is that Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. If you read the Bhagavad Gita, this is some point which the Gita really catches you by your neck and hammers you again and again. Krishna is the Supreme Person. Krishna is the Supreme Person. How does the Supreme Person enjoy? Some people say, if he is God, he should not enjoy. Then what should you do with all this property of God here? Say, might as well we enjoy it. So those people, particularly, you can find them out. They say this world is an illusion. This world is an illusion. And Prabhupada says, they're so expert in enjoying this illusion. They never say this has to be given up. So, just use your common sense. We have enjoying spirit and we are part of the Supreme Brahman. Obviously, what is there in the part has to be there in the whole. Now the question is, how does he enjoy? What does he do to enjoy? To put it very simply and grossly, our enjoyment is called ahar. Ahar doesn't just only mean food. If it is a song which you are enjoying, you are taking something and putting it inside. And your ear holes are saying, oh, this is good music. You put something, food, inside. That's what we normally call ahar. Something nice to see, that also is ahar. So in the yoga system, there is something called pratyahar. The opposite of that. Stop this enjoyment. Let me say, why? Because it is not exactly enjoyment. It may give you, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is saying, if I enjoy this kingdom, to what avail? Why? What's the point in killing people, your own kinsmen, and then having a big party? And whom do you invite to your party? Your kinsmen. But if there is no kinsman, then what is the use of a party? So he uses a word, viparitam. And Prabhupada said, that's what exactly happens. When we try to enjoy, we simply get the opposite. But Krishna, when he enjoys, he actually enjoys. So our activities and Krishna's activities can never be on the same level. They might seem like that. It is just like an office peon, office assistant. He may tell somebody that me and the CEO, we serve on the same floor. We both work on the same floor. Hell, but you are outside and he is inside. He is having his big plush office. He makes decisions worth crores of rupees every day. So just by being on the same level doesn't mean you are equal. That is the number one stumbling block. That our enjoyment is not the same. Second point, and a significant point, is Krishna's potencies, they are within him. This point is connected to the first point, that I have to put something from outside to enjoy. But Krishna, his potencies are within him. And the manifestation of his happiness potency is Radha. So he doesn't have to go and find somewhere. Let me have somebody who is as beautiful as me or somebody who is as resourceful as me. She is him. Radha is Krishna and Krishna is Radha. I know it sounds a bit confusing, but that's how we proceed. Krishna never seeks out someone to be his consort or to be his source of enjoyment. She is already his. So this one Parabrahma becomes two, as the enjoyer and the enjoyed. And another confusing thing from our point of view takes place. They both become one. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what we are going to do today is, we saw how Akrura is glorifying Nakhamandala. He's just glorifying the toenail of Krishna. And again in that same katha, I'm again using that those series of verses. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have this beautiful dialogue between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatan Goswami. There is a chapter entitled The Opulence and Sweetness of Lord Krishna, both in the teaching of Lord Chaitanya as well as in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is Madhya Leela 21st chapter, text 126 onwards till the end, about 15-20 verses, and that's going to be my main presentation for this Radhashtami Utsav today. So Akrura is glorifying the toenails of Krishna. It is said that Sita Devi, the last thing she saw was her Lord Ramchandra running after that Maya Mrigam, that golden deer. And she just remembered the reddish lotus feet of Lord Ram as he was running away. The way she said, "I want it immediately," and he's running away. So Lord Ram immediately took up his bow and arrow and started running. And the last thing which she saw was Ram's lotus feet. And that's what she kept in her heart through that whole period while she was abducted by Ravana, and then the whole war took place, the battle took place, and then she was brought back. There are so many verses which say how Brahma, Shiva, they meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is Mahaprabhu, but for our consideration, this is Radharani. How come? Because Krishna in the mood of Radha, that is the sum total of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personality. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. When the supreme enjoyer is suspicious, what is the suspicion? Are my devotees enjoying more than I am enjoying? And I think I told this before. Once the temple brahmacharis were going on a yatra, and in one place a group of devotees were told that Chaupati brahmacharis are coming. And I don't know right or wrong, but there is some kind of weightage, and I don't think I deserve that, but at least those devotees, they made nice prasad, they came on the railway station, and they were feeding us with such joy. And they were railway employees, so there was no question of any tickets or whatever. So they, from Kota, they went all the, they came all the way up to Hazrat Nizamuddin. And one devotee, I couldn't resist myself, I asked him, "Why are you so happy?" And he said, "Well, 3 months ago we were told that you people are coming and we cannot come all the way here. So we were very happy that we got a chance to serve Vaishnavas." And we were discussing that at least many others also saw that we were the ones who were served that nice opulent prasad. We were the enjoyers. And our suspicion was, these people who were serving, they were more ecstatic. This should not happen like that. We should be the ones who should be the enjoyers. So sometimes, not sometimes, every time when the real spiritual transaction takes place, the enjoyer and the enjoyed, sometimes there is a confusion. Who's enjoying more? And the bhakti potency, Bhakti Devi, Radharani's own potency, she is the one who causes this confusion and miracle. So every time we have served somebody in this material world, we have been cheated. Or we felt like, this guy alone is enjoying me. Whether my services as an employee or a servant or a personal servant or a cook or whatever. But here, the whole thing becomes topsy-turvy. So Krishna, in order to find out whether my devotees, they enjoy more than me, how can he understand that unless he becomes his devotee? So Krishna is taking the bhav, the propensity, the tendency, the mood of his topmost devotee. Whatever Krishna does is topmost, so even when he becomes a devotee, he'll become the topmost devotee. So this is 21 Madhya Leela, chapter, text 126. Sakhi hai Krishna Mukha Dvija Raja Raj. This is Sakhi, but this is Mahaprabhu speaking, but his bhav is of Radha. So that's why I thought that we can understand Radha's mood when we take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami has blessed all of us. It will be easier to understand Krishna if you go through Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Normally people just give Ashirvad. But some avatars, they give liberation. But here, Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna who can Krishna Prema Pradayate. He can give you love of Krishna which nobody has ever given. It is something like, for those who like cricket or whatever, it is hard to get Sachin's autograph, right? Or some Bollywood celebrity. It is more difficult to gain an audience with him, saying that, okay, we'll spend one day together. But what if that celebrity comes at your door and says, can we become friends? You may say, what? He says, yes, I'm serious. I can come anytime you want. You can come to my place. It's unthinkable. For many people, the closer they come to the celebrity, they feel how hollow their lives are. It's a fact of life. But here is Krishna coming as Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Rupa Goswami is saying he can give you Krishna Prema Pradayate very easily. So, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Radharani, is talking to Sanatana Goswami, but these are the words, Sakhi hai Krishna Mukha Dvija Raja Raj, Krishna Vapu Simhasane, Vashi Rajya Shasane, Kare Sange Chandrera Samaj. Our theme is Krishna's lotus feet and the dazzling toenails. So this is what Mahaprabhu is saying. The face of Krishna is the king of all moons, and the body of Krishna is the throne. Thus the king governs a society of moons. Dvija Raja means the moon, and Dvija Raja Raj, king of moons. Now, how Krishna's face, we see Krishna Radha Gopina's face every day, but how is it compared to the moon? Dui Ganda Suchikan, Jini Mani Sudarpan, Sei Dui Purna Chandra Jani, Lalate Ashtami Indu, Tahate Chandana Bindu, Sei Eka Purna Chandra Mani. Dui Ganda, two cheeks of Krishna, Suchikan. Those who know Marathi, Hindi, we have something like that in our parlance. Dui Ganda Suchikana. Jini Mani Sudarpana. The Gopa Sakhas of Krishna, they used to do their own makeup by seeing their reflection in Krishna's cheeks. He says here, Jini Mani Sudarpana. Krishna's cheeks are like a darpan, like a mirror. Se Dui Purna Chandra Jani. So this is one moon, this is one moon. Two full moons. Krishna's face is the king of moons. So that is one, two, three. Lalate Ashtami Indu. Lalate is the forehead. And of course we have the famous shloka about Krishna's forehead. Kasturi Tilakam Lalata Patale Vakshasthale Kaustubam. Nasagre Karavaramauktikam Karatale Venu Kare Kankanam Sarvange Harichandanam Sulalitam Kanteja Muktavali Gopastri Parivestito Vijayate Gopala Chudamani. Krishna's lalat. Lalat means the forehead. That is one moon. And Krishna also wears tilak. Normally we put tilak, this looks like a V. And we have the lotus feet. Why? That's our emblem, that this whole establishment is meant for Vishnu's pleasure, Krishna's pleasure. But Krishna's tilaks are of various shape, forms and size. Mostly they are sometimes golakar, various ways. Prabhupada just gave us one and we keep it standard, but the Shastra has many descriptions of Krishna's tilaka. So lalate ashtami indu. Ashtami means the eighth day, whether of the waxing or the waning moon. It is half, right? 15 days in a fortnight. So half makes it the half moon. So that is the half moon. Tahate chandana bindu. And there is a chandan bindu there. Sei eka purna chandra mani. Krishna has two cheeks that shine like glowing gems. Both are considered full moons. His forehead is considered a half moon. And the spot of sandalwood is considered a full moon. So this makes it four and a half. And then the 10 on the hands and 10 on his lotus feet, that makes his body 24 and a half moons. Karanakha chandera hat, bansi upar kare naat, taragita murali ratan, padanakha chandragana, talekare naratana, nupurera dhvani jaragan. Karanakha chandera hat. Now Mahaprabhu is saying, Radharani is saying, Krishna's face is a marketplace, a bazaar of moons. Chandera heart. Bansi upar kare naat. And the flute is above these moons and that is making everything dance. Tara gita murali ratan. And the sound which comes from Krishna's flute, that is the murali tan. That is the music which maddens everybody. But there are other moons below. There is Padanakha Chandra Gana. Padanakha Chandra Gana. Tale Kare Nartana. There is a dance going on. And there is another sound coming from below. What is that? Nupurera Dhvani Jaragan. So there is flute music. There is Nupur music. It's all music and it's all like a bazaar. Nache Makara Kandal. Netra Lila Kamal. Vilasi Raja Satata Nachai. Nache Makara Kundal. The shark-shaped earrings of Krishna, they always are dancing. He is always dancing, so they have to be dancing all the time. Netra Lila Kamala. And the eyes, they are the pastime lotuses. Vilasi Raja, this king is a very vilasi. He likes pastimes. Everything what he does is with so much of lalitya, with so much of nuances. Everything is very sweet, very delicate. Satata nachai. He wants his dance to go all the time. Bhru dhanu netrabaan, dhanur guna doikaan, narimana laksha vindetai. How does he kill people, so to say? Bhru dhanu, the bow is his eyebrows. And netrabaan, and his glance is the arrow. Dhanur guna, the rope is his two ears. Narimana laksha vindetai. Now, almost everyone who researched Krishna, and when they come across these kind of accounts, that Krishna likes to entice women, there is an English word for it, Casanova. Some of you might have heard. Now, it is interesting to note that the living entity, when he wants to enjoy, he exactly imitates Krishna. Why can't a living entity show something which is not done by Krishna and that is his enjoyment? You can't. So that is why Prabhupada many times uses the word enviousness. How do you show envy? You show envy by imitating, or you show envy by trying to destroy somebody's personality. So, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Jarasandha, Shalva, they were all big time sense enjoyers. And their favorite abuse word for Krishna was that cowherd. Oh, how can a mere cowherd defeat us? There are those who get their fill. That means they say, I can't enjoy this world. It's too much troublesome. I give it up. It's all Maya. It's all illusion. And higher than those are those who say, no, this world is not for my enjoyment. It is for somebody's enjoyment. And that somebody is the original proprietor. So, we may not be pure devotees, we may not be seeing Radha Krishna Leela, but at least we have come here to participate in Krishna's enjoyment. And that's more than enough. So, Bhrunda, so I was coming to this point about this women. Narigana, here Mahaprabhu saying Narigana means the gopis. And the famous pastime, almost every time there is a Radha Katha, we today morning also we heard how most of the devotees who were told that, please give me the dust of your lotus feet. And they said, Nare Baba, no, no, no. In fact, they were telling Narad Muni, don't you know that if you put your dust on Krishna's body, you go to hell? So this is the normal understanding that if you offend Krishna, you go to hell. And while the gopis, as Gaur Govind Maharaj famously put it, they are making holes. Some gopis didn't have much dust. So they went to the Jamuna, wet their feet, came back and danced on the sand, and then had some dust. And it's okay, here, take this. So the first reaction of Narad Muni was, don't you understand? This is sinful. They said, no. There is no question of any sinful understanding of anything, sin or not, whether we go to hell or not, we can stay in hell for eternity, provided Krishna's headache is even reduced for one moment. So these are the kind of very fortunate women who Krishna can actually attract towards him. A merchant in Calcutta asked Prabhupada, a businessman, that why Krishna dances other people's wives? I mean, otherwise things are okay, but why he has to dance with other people's wives? So Prabhupada began the understanding that how Krishna is supreme, how he is the enjoyer, how he is the owner of everything. Everything is made with the 8 material elements. The businessman agreed, yes. And these are all Krishna's property. He said, yes. So what do? He said, I'm a glass merchant. So you make glass, right? He said, yes. Where do you get it from? He says, from the earth. Who made it? I don't know. Many times this is the best answer you can give, that I don't know. It is our property. He said, but did you make it? Temporarily it's yours, but did you make it? He says, no. So aren't you taking Krishna's property? No answer. He knew that now slowly the tables are being turned. So Prabhupada said, how everybody is taking Krishna's property, making things, selling them in the market, making profit. And the final thing was, so the question is not that Krishna is dancing with other people's wives. But Prabhupada said, what are you doing with Krishna's wife? Whom you are claiming to be your own. This woman is also Krishna's property. Doubt he had heard anything like that before. Even I didn't hear anything like that before. That we look upon what we have as our property, but we want others should share, you know, whatever they have. Like you say, this moon belongs to Krishna. I said, I have no objection. This whole Pacific Ocean belongs to Krishna. I said, no problem. The Himalayas are Krishna's property. Yes, but this phone is mine. This small thing. Why Krishna has to leave everything and just look at my one small pocket. So Prabhupada had an answer for that also. He says, yes, there are Hiranyakshas, Hiranyakashipus whom he defeated personally. But you could be a miniature Hiranyaksha. For you, Krishna doesn't have to take an avatar and kill you. But as the Bengali saying, Prabhupada say, the first person had stolen a diamond. So he was a Hira Chor. And he was judged very sternly. 2 years in the jail. And the next fellow said, I am not such a big thief like stealing a diamond or something. I just stole a small cucumber. So the judge said, Hira Chor or Kira Chor? Chor is chor. So whether you want the entire 14 worlds as your property, or like Ravana, you want Sita as your property, or you may just say this small phone or this small job, one small BHK flat in Mumbai, that's my property, this is a small family of mine. No. Whether a small one or a big one, the best course of action in life is honesty. And the first installment of honesty is understanding everything belongs to Krishna. Sometimes somebody may say, but I am giving whatever I have to my family, to my community. If God owns everything, what's the point in giving him back? I should use it for my family, for my community. Now if you take a bank loan and you say, I repaid it to my wife, or I gave it to my son, or I'll give it in my community, whom do you repay back? From the one you took it, right? So similarly, once we know from whom everything has come, it has to go back to that source. Only then the transaction is fully complete. So, Mahaprabhu continues. E chandera bada naat, pasari chandera haat, binimule bilaye nijamrita. E chandera bada naat, this chand, this moon, it's a big dance. Big dancing. Pasari chandera haat, it's a bazaar, a marketplace of moons. Binimule, without taking any charge, completely free, what does he give? Vilaya Nijamrita. This is one thing which, when I also read Prabhupada Lilamrit, we have stories of how Prabhupada used to charge this for something or that for something. But essentially, Prabhupada said, we don't need your money for our sake. You need to give for your sake. It is you who will be benefited. Prabhupada had his 1, 2, 3 Bhagavatam, first canto, and Brahmananda Prabhu. He had just shown interest in Prabhupada's small society, and he gave his inheritance, $5,000. He just gave it to Prabhupada that this is my contribution. And for many days, Prabhupada would say, Brahmananda joined me and all my economic problems are solved. The society had some money with them. And Brahmananda then said, Swamiji, you said you have these books. And he said, yes. So he opened that small trunk, got out first chapter part, second part, third part. Printed in Delhi, Radha Press. It was very nice. And Prabhupada said, so this is $12, this is $16, and this is $14. He was shocked. Just a few hours ago, he took $5,000 from me. And at least for $5,000, this must be a small gift. What's the harm in that? And he looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was serious. He says, yeah, you have to pay. So he looked at the books. He said, hey, it is rupees. It is 14 rupees. Prabhupada said, that is in India. Since we are here in America, this 14 becomes $14. Grudgingly, he took out that amount, gave it to him, took those books. He said, many, many years later, I understood why Prabhupada behaved like that. For almost everything, he would say, we don't charge. We don't charge for the mantra. We don't charge for prasad. Let the whole world come, we can feed them. Prabhupada said, I can have a festival like this every minute. So many accounts of Prabhupada show that he was not interested in just counting pennies for something. But Brahmananda Prabhu, later he became Brahmananda Swami, he said that, I had that ego that I am maintaining my spiritual master. Small thing, but it came in my mind that I am the one who is supporting him. And isn't it nice that I am such a good soul? And he said, this was not good for me. So Krishna used Prabhupada as that instrument to just remove that. So here it is also said that Vinimule vilaya nijamrita. Kaho smita josnamrite. Kahare adharamrite. Sabaloka kare apyayita. Although priceless, the nectar of Krishna's face is distributed to everyone. Some purchase the moon rays of his sweet smiles. Others purchase the nectar of his lips. Thus he pleases everyone. Now we may say, nectar of his lips? For you and me, the Bhagavad Gita is the nectar of his lips. It came from his lips and we need to hear that. One devotee gave a very nice understanding. He said that, you know, Dettol or any other such antiseptic which is chemical alcohol based, if you rub it on your skin, you get a cool sensation. There is instant evaporation. Some of those cheap perfumes also, when you put, there is some kind of a cooling effect. What if there is a cut on your skin? And then you put that chemical. Oh, it burns. So, he said the comparison is, the Bhagavad Gita is like that Dettol. Soak it in cotton and vigorously rub it all over your existence. If there is any ego, if there is any desire for sense gratification, that's like there is a cut or an open wound. And instead of saying, ah, it's cool, you'd be howling with rage. Ah, it pains. So till that time, at the same time, the Dettol does something good for the wound, isn't it? It helps heal it. So till the time the last tinge of material enjoyment doesn't go away, when we read the Bhagavad Gita, we will be howling with pain. Ah, it's painful. And at that time, we may like Bhagavatam or Govinda Lilamrita or this or that. But then that's like with a stomach upset, you are taking rabdi and paneer and everything. While it goes through one orifice, one hole of your body, inside it's good. But then it sets other eight on fire. It harms. So the method is, even Arjuna says, I need now, when he was defeated by the aboriginal cowards in a fight, he said, now I shall remember the nectar of his lips. That is a Bhagavad Gita. And of course, at a very high level, devotees can actually enjoy Krishna's personal presence. We won't go into that matter now. Vipulaya taruna madana mada ghurnana mantri jara edui nayan lavanya keli sadan jananetara rasayan sukhamaya govinda vadan. Now, Mahaprabhu starts describing, Krishna has two reddish, widely spread eyes. Vipulaya taruna madana mada ghurnana. Krishna's eyes can even enchant Cupid. We have this whole thing. Madan means one who makes us mad. M-A-D, M-A-D, same thing. very few things which really correlate, but Madana and madness. When the Soviet Union and America were having this Cold War, arms race, there was something which was propounded by some diplomats that this will be a guarantor of peace. What is that? Mutual assured destruction. That we both can kill each other and the world 50 times over, 100 times over. So let us have peace. So those acronym was Mutual Assured Destruction. MAD. Same thing. It was all madness. So that MAD, Madan, Mohan, someone can actually enchant him. That is Madan Mohan. And this Rupa Goswami's famous prayer, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. So very interestingly, first time I read this in a lecture, this is Canada, Montreal. Prabhupada said, after this program I am going to sing, and he sang that. I read the transcription, that everybody wants Krishna's attention, everybody wants Krishna's love. Krishna Prem, very rare, very rare. And now, you see one personality, Madhava Daite. Krishna wants her attention. Krishna wants her love. Krishna wants to go after her. How great she must be. That is Radha. So again and again, our acharyas caution us, don't take her as some mundane person. She is not like a mundane woman. She is someone after whom even Krishna is eager to find her, eager to seek her. So here it is said, Mantri Jar E Dui Nayan. In this short 15-16 verses, so many analogies and so many different comparisons are given by Mahaprabhu. Mantri means ministers. So, these are the ministers of the king, and they subdue the pride of Cupid, who also has beautiful eyes. Madan also is beautiful. Otherwise, we won't have any of these pop songs and love songs and novels, which maybe 10,000 novels come out every 10 years, only on love. What's that love? This is simply Madan. He makes the world go round. Jara punya punja phule, sei mukha darshan mile, dui aankhi ki kare bepane, dviguna bade trishna lobh, pita nare manakshobh, dukhe kare vidhira nindane. Now Krishna is so beautiful, but still the gopis have a problem. You may say, what's the problem now? Jara punya punja phule. It is not by accident that we all have come here and we are trying to see the, take the darshan of Radha and Krishna. The famous story where devotees ask Prabhupada, what did we do? What did we do to deserve entrance into Krishna consciousness? Because it's just like you find yourself in a very big musical concert or something, someone must have paid. Or you find yourself in front of a big banquet, somebody must have allowed you. Somebody is paying for it. So similarly, when we see that we have a chance to become devotees of Krishna, who paid for it? And Prabhupada simply answered it, I made your pious credits. So here it is said, Jara punya punja phale, sei mukha darshan mile, dui aankhe ki karibe paane. Radharani is saying, to see Krishna, how can two eyes be sufficient? She can't understand the logic. Dvi guna bade trishna lob, pite nare manakshob, dukhe kare nidhira nandane. The gopis, the first thing they do is to criticize Lord Brahma. When I was reading that, I was thinking, we pride in calling ourselves a Brahma Sampradaya. But don't worry, Lord Brahma understands our mood. Na dile laksha koti, sabe dile aankhe duti, tate dila nimisha achhadan.
Na dilek laksha koti. What the gopis want is, why didn't he give us millions of eyes? Sabbe dila aankhe duti. You say everywhere you see people having only two eyes. But they have the rubbish to see, whatever it is. Now Indra, he has 1,000 eyes. But he is condemned according to the gopis to see apsaras and rambas and like that. Brahma has 8. The demigods, they don't have eyebrows, eyelids rather. If you want to check, I mean, I don't think that time will ever come. But we see in some stories that like Sukanya and her husband and the Ashwini Kumars took the form of demigods. So she was told that, look at the one who has no eyebrows. I mean, who doesn't drop his eyelids. That's one technique. So the demigods don't have eyelids. But the gopis are saying, but he gave us 2 eyes only, and that too with eyelids. What's the problem? This, we know what's the issue. Vidhi jada tapodhan, rasa shunya taraman, nahi jane yogya srijan. He says, after all, this vidhi, creator, poor fellow, he is a bit foolish. What? Yeah. Because tapodhan, he only is a tapasvi. With eyes closed, he did Narayan, Narayan, whatever. He had tapasya. That tapasya gave him qualification to become a creator. The Lord came in front of him. Split darshan. That's it. And what happens to these tapodhan people? Rasa shunya taraman. Radha Govind Maharaj made an interesting point before that audience. I am not doing that. I am just repeating him. So he said, why do only rishis and munis and tapasvis are the people who curse all the time? Little something happens and you become a horse, you become a dog, you become a donkey, you become stone. Tapasya actually makes your heart hard. That's a fact. So then somebody raised the point, why don't we see grihasthas becoming so angry? I mean, so Maharaj said, maybe after having a wife and kids and a family, you are a spent force. Not much left to become angry at, and you say, now what avail? These are our own people. And but the fact is that sometimes, at least I saw once one leader, I won't say Brahmacharya or Sannyasi, but one leader, and every time somebody would offer dandavat, he would say, touch both hands. So I was thinking that, you know, this is Kartik. People have come from so far. They are seeing some leader and they are offering pranam. He said, no, you can't offer. Mostly we have one hand in the bead bag. Some rounds are left and then you see so many people and again dandavat. So he said, no, dandavat without touching both hands to the ground is futile. So that's this understanding here. That you become tapodhan, you become a bit shushka, dry. Rasa shunya taraman, nahi jane yogya srijan. The gopis are telling, he doesn't know how to create. He doesn't know to see Krishna. These 2 eyes are useless. What does he say? Actually, if he would have Je dekhi be Krishnanan, tare kare dvinayan, vidhi haya hena avichar. Je dekhi be Krishna anana. Krishna anana means Krishna's face. Tara kare dvinayan. And he has only given 2 eyes. Mora jadi bol dhare. If you would have asked me, the gopis are saying, if you would have asked me, koti aankhi tara kare, tabe jani yogya srishti tar. If the vidhi, creator, would have given millions of eyes, we could have understood that actually he has some sense. In fact, it is said that the gopis are cursing Brahma every day. Narad Muni would go and tell him that, you know, these people are, he says, what's done's done, you know, original patent, original mold. Now it's such a long time, what can I do now? You can't change it. But the gopis are not cursing from the point of view of what others are cursing. This is love for Krishna. This is the love which is coming up. Why? Why do you want to see Krishna with millions of eyes? Now here is another sweet series of explanations. Krishnanga madhurya sindhu, sumadura mukha indu, ati madhu smita sukirane. Eitine lagila man, lobhekare asvadan, shloka pade swasta chalane. Krishna anga madhurya sindhu. Krishna's body is a ocean of sweetness, ocean of nectar. Sumadhura mukha indhu. And just like in Sanskrit poetry it is described, with the churning of the ocean, the moon came up. So although his body is like an ocean, his face is even sweeter than the ocean. Ati madhu smita. And when he smiles, it is even more sweet. Ei tine lagila man lobhe kare aswadan. And once you get that addiction, once you get afflicted of seeing Krishna's sweetness, you are gone. And there, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami quotes, this is from Below Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita. Madhuram madhuram vapur asya vibhor. Krishna's vapu body is madhuram. Madhuram madhuram vadanam madhuram. Even more beautiful than his body, more sweet than his body is his face, vadanam. Madhu gandhi mridu smitam etadaho madhuram 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 madhuram. O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet and his face is even sweeter than his body. But his soft smile which has the fragrance of honey is sweeter still. Mahaprabhu comes a little bit in his bahya consciousness. Now what exactly that is not described here, but he says, Sanatan, Sanatan Krishna Madhurya Amritira Sindhu. Moramana sannipati sabapite karenmati durdeva vaidya na deya ek bindu. Sanatan Krishna Madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna is a ocean. But moraman, my mind is like a cholera affected person. Moraman sannipati. Sannipat means you are diseased, you feel thirsty, you feel like I can drink a whole lake of water, but the vaidya, the physician says, no drinking. You're not allowed to drink even a drop of water. Moramana sannipati sabha pite kare mati. I think I should drink up everything. Even in the Bhagavatam early verses we find, Shukadeva Goswami says, O expert and thoughtful men, pipata Bhagavatam rasamalayam. This Bhagavatam is like a drink. Pibata. What does pibata mean? Read it carefully every day. Slowly you enter into the rahasya, the secrets of the stories. And then, this is the highest point of trying to drink Krishna's nectar. Durdeva vaidya na deye eka bindu. Mahaprabhu is lamenting. I want to drink up Krishna's ocean of nectar. But durdeva. What is durdeva? So many different instances can be given. Krishna leaving early morning with the cows for pasture grounds. That's one durdaiva. Or Krishna leaving Vrindavan for Mathura. That's another durdaiva.
Krishnanga lavanyapur madhura haite sumadur tate hai mukha sudhakara. Madhura haite sumadur taha haite sumadur. Tarajai smita jyotsnabhar.
Krishna's body is a city of attractive features. And it is sweeter than sweet. His face, which is like the moon, is sweeter still. And the supremely sweet, gentle smile on that moon-like face is like rays of moonshine. How exactly Krishna spread his sweetness? Next time, in the next verse they say,
smita kirana sukarpure. Paishe adhara madhure, sei madhu mataye tribhuvane. Bansi chidra akashe, taraguna shabda pashe, dhvani rupa paya pariname.
His slight smiling and fragrant illumination
are compared to camphor, which enters the sweetness of his lips. That sweetness is transformed and enters into space as vibrations from the holes of his flute. Bansi Chidra, our Guru Granth Prabhu plays the flute here, so that flute is nothing but holes, right? What's a flute? It's just a bamboo rod with holes in it. And Krishna puts his breath into it. But that Bansi Chidra Akash is like that space in between, and space is connected with sound. So, Tara Guna Shabda Paishe, that sound enters the Tribhuvan. Se dhvane chaudi ke dhai, anda bhedi vaikunta jai, bale paishe jagate rakane. That dhvani, that sound, chaudi ke dhai, it goes all over the four directions. Anda bhedi vaikunta jai, brahmanda, the universe, it penetrates that, goes everywhere. Bale paishe jagate rakane. It enters the ears of all inhabitants. Saba matawala kari, balatkare ane dhari, visheshata yuvati ragane. It forces you. Many times, at least I have prayed like that, that Krishna, you take away my independence. It doesn't happen like that. There was one mystic, Christian mystic, and he is famously said, Krishna, he didn't say Krishna, he said, God, take away all my anarthas, but not immediately. I will tell you the timetable. So many times, even if it is an anartha, that is lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, illusion, there is a stage comes in a sadhaka's life that he feels that I should give a timetable. And Krishna, okay, now you can take this one. Okay, now it's like you look on your attic and somebody in your home is shouting that, clear it off, clear it off. And you say, okay, except for these 10, you can take away everything. Next year I'll see if this one also can be given up. Fine, we are not exactly willing to change everything. But a time comes when, at least I'm just translating these emotions from a sadhaka's point of view, that is there a time when we feel that our bhakti just becomes automatic? Or do we feel that now I have reached a time in my life that I will never forget the Maha Mantra, I will never forget the rules and regulations? In fact, in one Brahmachari class many, many years ago, we had this discussion that after spending 10 years in the ashram, is it possible to forget the Maha Mantra? It is only Hare Krishna and Ram. That's all. And I remember, 10 years after that discussion, talking with a senior devotee, he said, do you know the power of Maya? Within a split second, you can forget everything. She's so powerful. In fact, in one lecture, Maharaj was saying, don't think Maya is very powerful. She is all powerful. Srishti, Siti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Reka, Chayeva. She can act just like Krishna's shadow. When I was reading this, I was thinking, at least I am happy for the gopis who are our leaders. At least it has happened to them that they feel Saba mata wala kari balatkare ane dhari visheshata yuvati ragane. The vibration of Krishna's flute enters the ears of all inhabitants, especially enters Golok Vrindavan, attracts the minds of the young damsels of Brajabhumi, bringing them forcibly to where Krishna is present. Dhvani bada uddhata. This sound is so powerful, it controls us. Kaner bhitar vasakare. Apanetaha sadaspure, anna shabda na deye praveshite. How fortunate. This can actually happen. Kanera bhitara vasa kare. I think tomorrow also the same thing. I'll sit down for chanting japa 5:45. You tell your mind that please, today at least today, one round,
108 names of pure remembering Krishna, hearing the sound. He says, really? So many gone? Okay, at least 10 more. Finally, Darshanarthi, and you say, at least one would have been okay if there was one Mahamantra. Burijan Prabhu sometimes says, what full Mahamantra? One Hare! That you are chanting and you are hearing with your own resources, your own tongue and your own ears. That is the struggle. But, since this is Vidhi, we are having this regulatory kind of devotional service. These are the stepping stones towards success. And what is success? Mahaprabhu is revealing here. Kaner bhitar vasa kare. The vibration of his flute is just like a bird that creates a nest within the ears of the gopis and always remains prominent there, not allowing any other sound to enter. For us, it is except Hare Krishna, everything is entering. But that's part of life. Nothing to be ashamed of. And I mean, in one sense, yes. But this can happen. Tukaram Maharaj, I think, wrote this Abhanga, where this gopi is going into the other villages and he's saying, if somebody wants to take Govinda, they can take Govind. Somebody wants to take Gopal, they can take Gopal. So, somebody said, what did you say? You're not selling milk and dahi? So that's what I said. If somebody wants milk, they can buy milk. If somebody wants yogurt, they can buy yogurt. They see, we heard somebody wants to buy Govinda, somebody wants to buy Gopal. When Uddhava went to teach these gopis how they can survive the separation from Krishna, so he said, okay, let's start with a small, simple meditation. You want to forget Krishna, right? They said, yes. So close your eyes. They closed their eyes. Said, what happened? He said, sometimes when the eyes are open, we can see trees, we can see clouds, we can see stones. But when eyes are closed, it's only Shyam Sundar. So he said, well, it's like your old TV and some mechanic comes with his toolkit. And he says, none of the tools are useful here. What to do? So all the things which Uddhava came to teach them, none of them were useful. Why? Ana kathana shune kaan, ana balite bolai an, e krishnera bansira charite. The gopis cannot hear anything else, nor are they able to concentrate on anything else, not even to give a suitable reply. Such are the effects of the vibration of Lord Krishna's flute. Now Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness. Puna kahe bahya gyane, ana kahite kahilu ane, Krishna kripa tomara upare. Mora chitta brahmakari, nijeshwarya madhuri, namore sukha sunaye tomare. Mahaprabhu is saying, Sanatan, I started telling you something else, and I started telling something else. What topic I had in mind, I couldn't even cover it. Krishna made me inspired to speak something else. What do I do? I have become a madman. I am saying one thing instead of another. This is because I am being carried away by the waves of the nectar ocean of Lord Krishna's transcendental sweetness. Mahaprabhu then remained silent. He adjusted his mind and again started speaking, which is in the next chapter about Avatar Katha and everything. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says here, Krishnera Madhuri Ar Mahaprabhu Mukhe Iha Jai Sune Sai Bhase Prema Sukhe. If anyone gets an opportunity to hear about the sweetness of Krishna in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he will certainly be eligible to float in the transcendentally blissful ocean of love of God. And finally, he ends this chapter by saying, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Jara Pada Jara Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Just to recapitulate, I began with Akrura glorifying Nakha Mandala Tvisha. Tvisha is a word which we use in Gaura Tvishe Namaha. Tvisha means the splendor.
the shining illumination. We all go to Vrindavan and Mayapur every alternate years. So Akrura teaches us the path of entry into that particular domain, which is called Brajeshwari's domain or Vrindavaneshwari. So what exactly is Vrindavan? The place where emotions are saturated about serving Krishna. And the glory of Krishna's glorious toenails, we saw how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, is even calling Sanatana Goswami, "Hey Sakhi." So the safest way to understand Radharani's greatness is to take the shelter of Mahaprabhu's devotees. As you understand, as you stay in the movement and you understand how small pieces they fall in their place and the whole picture becomes complete. Gaur Mohan Day, Srila Prabhupada's father, Prabhupada was barely large enough to play the mridanga. His hands could not reach the both heads. And his father had employed a teacher. He said, "I want my son to play mridanga." And then sadhus would come and he would say, "Please bless him that he can become a devotee of Radharani." And therefore Prabhupada dedicated, I think, the Krishna book to his father. "To my father, Gaur Mohan Day, a pure devotee of Krishna." Imagine at that young age, his father was insisting, "My son should be blessed that he can be a devotee of Radharani." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was so particular. In fact, once it looked like he was meditating, and one brahmachari, a new one, he asked him that, in that particular episode of the Bhagavatam, doesn't it seem that Radharani became proud? Little bit. He raised his eyebrows and said, "We belong to her party. How can you ask such a question?" He says, "Do you have any sense? We belong to her. We are in her party." See, he couldn't understand. He said, "I thought he just said it is." He says, "We don't ask these kind of nonsense questions." Such was his dedication towards becoming a servant of Radharani. He saw one king doing Dandavat Parikrama for Giriraj. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur made remark to his disciples that they worship Giriraj because they think it is Krishna. So he said, "Well, Giriraj is Krishna, isn't it?" He said, "Yes, but we have something to do with Krishna because Radharani has something to do with him." Like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, our main connection with Radharani. If she has connection with whoever, we also have a connection with that person." So Thakur Bhaktivinod, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and Prabhupada, in their own unique ways, sometimes when the environment is positive, they have actually poured their heart out. Imagine how difficult it must be for Prabhupada to sit among the Western crowd and then say that we have to become devotee of Radharani. He began the Krishna book by saying, "In the Western world, people say, who is Krishna? And the next question is, who is this girl with Krishna?" Obviously. So therefore, Prabhupada, truly following the footsteps of Rupa and Raghunath, has given us this package of our Mangalarti. It begins with samsara dava nalo, it's a wildfire and it's all hellish, it's all unfortunate. Somebody say, "Why begin your morning with this kind of sentiments?" It's a fact, isn't it? It's a fact. But then as we glorify the spiritual master, we also glorify him that he is a servant of Radharani. He also is a servant of Nityananda Prabhu. Then we
sing the Narasimha prayers for protecting our devotional creeper. And then with Vrinda Devi, who is an expansion of Radharani, we want direct Krishna entrance into Vrindavan. Please, allow me to enter that grove. Let me see with my own eyes. So our acharyas very carefully have given us a balanced program, which is a sure shot formula for perfecting our lives, even in this age of Kali. So I will stop here. I am very full of gratitude to the temple management for allowing me to speak this katha here. There is a small announcement. This is from our Pujari team. Baldev Prabhu has given this message. Today, 2,221 bhoga offerings were offered to Srimati Radharani. So, this is her mood, and as we say, anything which has been